All right. Well, welcome everyone again. So today we have Gates Recovery Center talking to us. Great message, and I know it's going to be a great message. So a little backstory here, because I love telling stories. I'm a storyteller. So we rolled into New Hampshire about 3 years ago from Georgia, because God told us we need to come to New Hampshire. And I'm like, Lord, why New Hampshire? I'm like, it's cold. I'm like, I'm from Georgia. You know, I'm not from Georgia, but I've been living in Georgia for 20 plus years. And I'm like, I like the South. People are great. They tell you you're awesome all the time. They're smiling. They're happy. You get a great tan all year. It's wonderful, right? No snow. It's, but it's hot and humid and just nasty. You can't even be outside like you can up here. But God said, you know what? Time for you to move, you know, and move your entire family. And of course, my wife, being from North Carolina, she's like, I am not moving to the Northeast, especially where you came from, Ivan, in New York. And I'm like, you know, we're not going back there. Trust me. We're not going back there at all. So she's like, but my sister lives in New Hampshire. And I'm like, we're going to New Hampshire. God's telling us we need to go to New Hampshire. And everything rolled in, and we roll into town, and going through that large town of New Ipswich. If you blink, you miss it. And luckily, I wasn't blinking at the time, but at the time, we rolled through because we're like, let's see what this town has to offer. A DG, and I'm like, this is good, this is good. And I look over, and I go, what's that? And I, for some reason, I just said out loud in the car, I go, I wonder if this place needs my help. And my wife goes, well, you should go in and check it out. So I didn't go in, but I was talking to my brother-in-law, and I said, hey, Ben, you know anything about Gates Recovery? And he goes, that's my aunt and uncle. And I go, okay, who aren't you related to in New Ipswich, number one? But he goes, yeah, that's Charlie and Kathy. And I said, wait a minute. Isn't he the one that's going to, like, well, you know, he's like, yeah, I'll introduce you guys later. And, of course, we got introduced to Charlie and Kathy. And, you know, Charlie helped us out with our first home, looking at it for us and inspecting it. And but you know what? They're family. They are family. And we love them to death. And but Charlie and Kathy started Gates Recovery Center about 12 years ago. They've been in ministry for over 40 years. Yeah, over 40 years. So that means Kathy must have started when she was like five, yeah. Right? So she was, ministering at 5 years old. So God says a lot through her, I'll tell you. It really does. But I would like to introduce Kathy Sari from Gates Recovery. Charlie cannot be here today. He is on a rescue mission. So if we could pray for him, that'd be great. But I would like to introduce Kathy Sari.
Test. We got it the first try, you know how? Sometimes that doesn't always work, does it? Am I too louder? Sounds okay? Okay, turn everything around. Let's see. I've pretty much got the same thing that they got here. So I probably didn't even really need this whole thing. Maybe a tad bit lower? Hold this. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. Oh, we're so glad to be here. Sorry Charlie couldn't be here with us. Every once in a while we have to do rescue missions, and he's out of town on one. And so praise the Lord for them, because they usually end up being wonderful because of all the prayer. And I want to thank Ivan, and I just want to thank Melody. Melody's our bookkeeper. Ivan is on our board. We have like 10 members on our board. We have lawyers. We have construction people. You know, we have all sorts of different kinds of people, social workers, pastors. My husband and I are both pastors. We had Freedom Fellowship for many years, and then the Lord told us in 2018, we're starting a new thing. I want you to decide what you want to do. Do you want to do Freedom Fellowship, or do you want to do Gates Recovery? And I'm like, what's this about? So we went up to the White Mountains with our favorite pastor friends, and hi, Nicole, and we talked to them, and we prayed with them, and we really felt like the Lord was starting a new thing. We're still going to be pastoring, but now we're pastoring these treasures of God. And they truly are treasures, because they're kind of hidden, and we have to kind of dig for them, have to dig for the gold for them, because maybe there's something that's happened in their life, some trauma. We deal with a lot of trauma cases. But all of that said, we chose a no-brainer, and our board was like, yeah, that's what we knew what you would do. We chose Gates Recovery, and that became a separate off of the Freedom Fellowship Church, 501(c)(3) in 2018. So we've been pastoring people who are addicted, people who are come out of sex trafficking, I mean, you name it, people who are homeless, everybody. I looked at my files the other day, and I went, wow, that's a lot of people we've seen. And so I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian counselor, and I'm a recovery coach, a CRSW with a license with the state of New Hampshire. And we have one of our coaches here, Andrew. Wave, Andrew. He's going to speak and give his testimony, if I can get rolling here. And I just wanted, my purpose here is to come here and thank you guys for supporting us. Because I don't know what we could do. I mean, you just plain need money to help people. You know, and I'll tell you, we do not have any grants. Every time a grant comes our way or we're to sign up for something, the Lord reminds me, remember what I told you. And I'm saying, I know. We have one grant, and God grants all our needs. Amen. And I mean, not that there's anything wrong with grants. Don't get me wrong. I'm just following instructions. And until I hear something different, that's what we're doing. And I'll tell you, we have not missed one bill or electricity. We have a place in New Ipswich, and it's called Gates Recovery. There's a sign over it. That's where Ivan rolled around and saw us. And so we meet every Tuesday evening. We have an individual appointment, so that's where we're located. And they have decided to give me a little bit of money because it should show on the 990, if you're a proper 501(c), that the executive director is getting some money. I was always like, nope. And the Lord goes, no, let everything be in order. Am I not big enough to cover a small salary for you? You know, and I said, yeah, you're right, Lord, you're right. So I do that. I work full time. I see clients. Charlie works full time. He sees clients. And then we have a big board that also help and do everything. So I've got some slides up here. This is where we desire to see the whole person healed, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. So we're not just thrown, because we're faith-based recovery, people think that all we do is just open the Bible and just spew a bunch of scriptures. Okay, now you're going to be all well. But it's not true. It's your spirit we minister to, the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and then, you know, your body, which is your earth suit. And your earth suit really needs attention first. So we send people to treatment. You know, we might send them off to a rehab, and then when they come back, they're more apt to create a trust, you know, syndrome there where we can trust each other, and then we speak into their lives, and we start to tell them about the Lord. We start to give them truth in little doses, okay, because the brain is a real thing, and when you put drugs and alcohol in it, you just got to know that it doesn't work when you just shoot stuff at them. You want it to be lasting. So addiction, this is the definition that we've come up with. It's stuck in a place with no true meaning. Okay, so addiction could be addiction to anything, drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex. We have them all. Eating, there's many of them. Codependency is like a cocaine addiction. Codependency, dysfunctional families. We see that a lot too. So it's the addiction and the drugs and all that stuff, that's just a momentary answer to hide the problem. So really, addiction, we might be a recovery center from addiction, but addiction really isn't the problem. We try to get to the root of the problem. because Jesus said that he would heal us, save us, and deliver us. And so that's what we go. That's what we do on. Here's our scripture. So Isaiah 62:10, pass through the gates. That's where we got our name, Gates of Recovery, Gates Recovery. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise the banner for the nations. Every time someone gets free from drugs and alcohol or free from an addiction, we're raising a banner because Jesus did that. They give the glory to Jesus. And we move the stones, and there's a lot of stones because when you use drugs and alcohol, your brain is transformed. So now right is wrong and wrong is right. Not always, but a lot of times we see that scenario going on. And so we have to remove the stones carefully. So we're not judging, we're not pointing, we're slowly telling the people, leading them to the truth. And the truth is what keeps them free. So we have to create a foundation in this. It's a process. That's why we have a t-shirt that says, it's a process, shame off you, come as you are. We have all these t-shirts that kind of encourage. So that's our scripture. So here's our scope of practice. We're a 501(c) nonprofit, faith-based, non-residential recovery center, and we offer recovery supports of many different kinds, from aftercare to treatment to aftercare and everything in between, to men and women, children struggling with any kind of addiction and its after effects. Our mission is to love God, love people. So we tell people, come as you are, shame off you, just like I said. Our purpose is to engage people, to encourage people, to equip people, and empower them. We want them to leave from gates empowered because now they're going to go empower others. We want to, you know, keep empowering people. We, as a center, even though we're faith-based centers, there's a lot of centers out there. They have gotten to know us. And at first they were kind of like, oh, I don't know, you know, about that. You don't really know what we know, but I've studied, and so has Charlie, and so has Andrew. And so we have credentials that show that we know what we're doing, but we also know the scriptures, and we also know that God is able to do anything. So we collaborate with other recovery centers back and forth. In fact, there's one up at the White Mountains that we love, a treatment center. She calls me all the time. She goes, we're so happy to send people there to you. You're like first on our list because we don't charge people. We don't charge $16,000 to come and get well at Gates Recovery. It's all free. All our services are free. If people want to make a donation, fine. But we don't require anybody to do anything. We're giving because God called us to give. And the reason why we started Gates is because our son, at 16, he started into drugs and alcohol. So we had like a 22-year battle with that. And, you know, even at this point right now, our son is struggling. So just keep him in prayer. His name's Joshua. Yeah. God saves. And so he was well for 7 years and was going through a divorce, and that became a trigger. But you know, when God addresses something, he intends to heal it. Amen. And so we stand in faith with that. And he'll do it again. And he'll do it again and again. Thank you. Yes. Sober homes, recovery residential homes, medication-assisted treatment programs. We are involved in collaborating with all of those things because those are pathways that people want. We can't be saying, okay, just jump in my box, do it my way, and you'll get well. Because everybody's different. And they all have to make their own choices. So we provide what they need, and we're constantly praying. We have a big intercessory team that we, you know, if we're at the hospital, the jail, or in the courtroom, we are there, you know, on the intercessory saying, okay, here's the prayer request for this week. We have board members. They're covering us in prayer. So we got a big team. Other recovery centers, we're at community events. And then some of the stuff that we do for our Gates team, we have ordained pastors, that's Charlie and I, and then certified recovery support workers, that's the license that I have, and Andrew is currently working on his. We have social workers, we have nurses, we have licensed alcohol and drug counselors. So I don't just get a license. I have to do CEUs. I have to keep on top of information. I have to report 2 hours every month, twice a month. to somebody and to make sure that our center is running well. And then she is my go-to person. She's called an MLADAC, a Master Licensed Alcohol and Drug Counselor. So we've got all that in set. We have lawyers, we have guardian ad litems because we work with DCYF and child cases. Administrative help. That is, you know, Melody. Melody, yay, she's awesome at doing the bookkeeping, and Ivan is the treasurer, and they just keep everything in order, and I love that. Holistic health professionals, we're figuring that you're coming off of a substance. We don't really want to put people back on a substance if we can help it. Some people choose to do that with Suboxone. We're not saying don't do that. We're praying for them on their journey. And we're helping them and encouraging them to do what they need to do. But most of the time, we teach a lot of the holistic stuff, how to detox holistically, and spiritual detoxes. We've had quite a few of those where we've prayed over them, and then all of a sudden, they come back and go, I've detoxed a lot of times, and that was nothing like before. I didn't have this, and last time I did this. And I go, well, we did pray, remember? So we always give the glory to the Lord. We've had quite a few overdoses in funerals. We also do marriage counseling, premarital counseling to marry, because we have to marry people and bury people. But we're there for whatever it is that they need. And so we do a lot of marriage counseling, putting marriages back together. Yeah. Of course, our volunteers, we love our volunteers. That's just really awesome. And then also the Governor Sununu appointed me to his commission for alcohol and other drugs. And that was almost 3 years ago. So I've been sitting on that. They have a $10 million budget for alcohol and other drugs. So a lot of times I don't know what I'm doing there, but the Lord told me to go there, so I pray. Yeah, and I speak up when I need to speak up, of course. But so that's kind of some of the credentials that we're doing. What kind of support do we offer? Because we say recovery supports. It's Bible study. AA meets there. They come and use our space on Thursdays. We have Tuesdays that we meet, and it's support groups, and it's breakout session, men and women. It's worship night. So we have different churches that come and do 3 songs of worship. So we're there about an hour and a half. And, you know, we really have lots of great testimonies. We have a big cross like that, Epic Gates, because we had it in the church. We brought it over, and the Lord told me to go get nails. So I did, and put different color-coded tape on the nails. So 0 to 3 months clean, 6 to 9 months clean. And so when they get to that point, they nail the nail to the cross because Christ nailed it for us. And so the cross is covered with different colored nails. And, you know, we could give, sometimes we give little coins that have the, you know, the different scriptures on them and stuff, but that's kind of a better impression. Or we go, I just can't wait to do my nail, you know, when I get there. So we're happy about that. So we do individual recovery coaching. We do the wellness plan. We do all sorts of stuff that's really helpful for them to get their life in order. So we do it a little at a time. We use motivational interviewing. We have trauma tools. We're trained in trauma care. So court, we're in court quite a lot. And we pray a lot in court. And we have a couple big cases that we don't know, you know, we're advocating for our client. And we're praying in lawyers. Sometimes a lot of women that come to us through domestic violence and stuff, they have no money. And, you know, oftentimes it seems like maybe the husband's kept the money, but the wife is there. We pray for the money. The money comes in. We pray for the lawyers. We've got hotshot lawyers, pro bono lawyers. So I'm like, I'm in awe all the time of what God does. It's just like, if you just put yourself there and you don't know, just say, okay, God, just use me. It's fine. I'm right here. Is this okay? Did I do something here? Okay. I'm not used to that one. Oh, boy. yeah, we get health assistance. Like, we help them with chiropractors and natural doctors and trying to get them like more of a holistic type of a life that they can move toward. And like I said, we help them with salvations. We do a baptism every year. We do, you know, funerals and weddings. Our trauma care, we do talk therapy. That's a real big thing because talking helps them to process things neurologically. It's good for them to talk. It's good for them to write. So we encourage all those things. We have been involved with an inner healing prayer ministry called Wholeness Through Christ for 35 years. And so we've been doing that all along, and we'll do that. Sometimes there are just some deliverances that happen in that as well. And so we're there for that. We help with the soul care and lots of soul care, your mind, your will, your emotions. It's like you're constantly telling them. We use Dr. Caroline Leaf's 21-day brain detoxes, so we do that for her and for these people so that they can retrain their brain. So the word says to renew your mind, right, with the scriptures. So we tell them the old thing, they renounce it, we forgive, and then we go on to a new thing. It's like, what's the new thought? Let's make a new vow. Here's this vow, let's make a new vow. So there's a lot of inner healing type of stuff just to get to the root, but it's all in the Lord's timing. So I have a lot of tools that the Lord's trained me in to choose from. Some people come to us, they don't want a prayer. They don't want God. They're there. I'm respecting that. I'm not pushing that because God knows. So I listen to Holy Spirit. When we counsel, we listen to Holy Spirit. Okay, they need this, they need that. Okay, God. And then we offer it to them. If they're willing, then that's how we go. You know, we take them to treatment and we do the aftercare. They send them back to us with the biopsychosocial and they give us all the stuff that we need to continue care. And then we meet with them one-on-one. And we do, from times, we do classes for individuals and family care, and we teach health resource and resources, you know, all that kind of stuff. Lately, we've been retraining the first responders in our town, at the police department, all that. And now we're doing a business, like a recovery-friendly workplace. The governor's initiative says that the recovery-friendly workplace, if your business becomes a recovery-friendly workplace, that means that the person can keep their job if they go to meetings. So we sign off a lot for probation. We sign off a lot for the businesses. We have made our own contract with businesses, so we'll be introducing that. So we do Addiction 101 because people don't really know a lot about addiction. I didn't until my son got into it. And then we didn't know even how to do anything. We had to learn. You know, we knew the spiritual part. We knew how to pray for him. We knew all that. We knew believed. But there's another part of it, the body part of it, you know, the soul part of it. We needed to learn how to do that. So even Good Samaritan Network now, they are training churches around addiction and recovery. And so that's something that I helped form many years ago, probably 6 years, when the governor came to Manchester and said to the churches, hey, y'all, what are you doing for the opioid crisis? And they kind of didn't answer. They called Charlie and I, because we had at that point been doing it for 12 years. And so we went and they said, come share your model. And we're going, what model? You mean what we do? Okay, we'll share what we do. And so we did. And then I somehow got on that committee. And we kind of loosely formed Good Samaritan Network. Now it's more tightly formed. And I suggest it for all the churches, all my businesses even. This is a recovery-friendly church so that you have some idea when someone comes your way, you're not just throwing scriptures or Christianese. They're like, what? You know, you want to connect. The thing is connecting. How can we make a bridge, you know? So this is what we do for them. We did the Addiction 101, the biology addiction of addiction, and the Narcan training. So we're all Narcan trained. Before we were Narcan trained, we had a couple people within 24 hours that actually passed. But the Lord asked if I would go and pray for them, and I did, and they came back. So twice. And that was the Lord. And the Lord said, raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the leper. So here we are. Narcan can work too on most drugs. Some stimulants it doesn't work on. But prayer works. So there's the recovery-friendly workplace, training for local businesses and for churches. It's a win-win situation. Here's the Good Samaritan Network. So they're equipping the church how to respond. And that's a big deal. You know, if you can do that, if you have a bridge to somebody that you don't understand and you're building a bridge, that means they're that one step closer to Jesus because of us, right? So sowing into the restoration for the treasures of God. Think of it as a treasure. Next time you see somebody that's struggling with drugs, think treasure, because they really are. All of us are treasures of God. So here's our support groups every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30. We're in the New West Mall in New Ipswich. And we do worship, we share testimonies, we share rewards, and then we do support groups. And anyone can come. If you have a friend that's struggling, come with your friend. If you just want to come to encourage, we love encouragers. We love people that want to just come there and pray or just see what it's all about. So in case somebody comes, you could say, hey, I know a faith-based support group that you could go to. Or, oh, you need help finding something? Call Kathy, call Charlie, call Andrew. You know, they'll help you. I mean, there's the 211 that you can dial. I personally haven't found it that helpful. But we know our resources. We don't send anybody anywhere until we visit and look at their curriculum. And no, they're not faith-based. But you have to take the first step. Neither are hospitals, Christian hospitals only. You know, it's a hospital. You have to go somewhere to start. So we pray them. We send them. Sometimes we even pay for them. Sometimes we pay for their false teeth because meth addicts don't have any teeth sometimes. You know, so we're there to help. So Gates is supported by local churches, private donors. We've got like some t-shirts that say we have those, and then God provides. So I'm just really excited because you guys are really helping us. You guys are supporting us. And we're like so blessed because of this. And I just can't say enough about this. So here's my scripture, and I am certain that God, who began a good work in me, will be faithful to complete it. He's going to be faithful. If we're faithful, he's going to be faithful. This is like praying for a friend, praying for your son, praying for your daughter, praying for your mother, your father, you know, your husband, your wife. We have to pray. We have to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from addiction. Saved from yourself. Saved from bad thoughts. Saved from anything. God is there, and he's faithful to do it. So thank you guys so very much. I want to bring Andrew up here, and he wants to share a little bit about his testimony.
I think I turned it off. There we go. That's better. Good morning, everybody. It's a blessing to be here. I was actually joking with Kathy. If you had asked me 3 years ago if I'd even be in this building, I'd have told you you were crazy, let alone getting up here and sharing testimony in front of a church full of people. So I didn't prepare anything. Normally, when I do these speeches, I write everything down, and I seem to give myself all sorts of unnecessary worry because I'm so worried about picking the perfect words and saying everything right, and then I get up here, I end up tending to not even read from the paper, and I just speak from my heart. So I figured I'd save myself the hassle of the 2 hours of worrying last night to prepare and just get up here and let God speak through me. So I'm trying to think where to start my story. When I first came to Gates, it was a little over 2.5 years ago. I just celebrated 2.5 years of sobriety. Thank you. My life was nowhere near what it is today. I was in the middle of a divorce. My wife had left me. I worked for a fireworks company for 9 years. My family owned a fireworks company out of Jaffrey, New Hampshire, and it was like my dream job all growing up. I'm going to go blow stuff up on the weekends. It'd be awesome. So I looked up to my grandfather as a child, and so I, once my grandfather passed away, I pretty much took his job. It was like my dream job, what I always wanted to do as a kid. And at the beginning of COVID, the company essentially shut down. The federal government said no public events over 250 people, and boom, fireworks went right out the window. So I lost my job, and I didn't really have any sort of identity at the time. That was my identity, was work. It was my career. And it broke me. I had a drinking problem before that, but beginning of COVID, all of a sudden I was home 24/7. I couldn't leave the house. I was isolated. I've always been a very social person, and I couldn't stop drinking, and it got worse and worse and worse and worse, and to the point where my wife's like, "Look, I'm leaving you." So I kind of begged her to stay with me. We tried to work on things a little bit, and there was one night I had come to the end of my rope, and I didn't know what to do anymore. And I went in the basement and decided I was going to take my own life. I had a suicide attempt with a firearm, and by the grace of God, the gun didn't go off. That's why I'm standing here today telling my story. She witnessed that, and it scared her, and that was the final straw for my marriage. That was the end of it. So she called the police and got a restraining order. They asked me to leave the house. She wanted me to get some mental health help before she would even allow me to be around the kids or anything, and I didn't know what to do. So the only thing that I thought would work was drinking. I'm like, I didn't want to feel anything. I had a massive hole in my heart, and I had to fill it with something. So I tried to drink myself to death, essentially. It didn't work. So I ended up going to the hospital, and I'm like, I can't quit drinking. I need to go to rehab or something. And they helped me get lined up with a inpatient medical detox facility out of Portland, Maine, which I didn't end up going to. So that afternoon, I couldn't get in until the following day. So I left the hospital and went home, and I'm like, they told me not to quit drinking or I would die. They said that my alcohol withdrawals would be so bad, I could end up dying. So I went home, and I'm like, well, I'm just not going to drink, and hopefully I die. I was very, very suicidal. I didn't want to live anymore, and I had it in my mind that was like a noble way to go out. And I actually was sitting there with somebody. We were drinking, and this guy, if you met him, it's just the complete opposite of what everybody's idea of a perfect Christian is. But this man, I didn't believe it at the time. He put his hands on me and started praying, and I'm looking at him like he's crazy. And I'm like, all right, whatever, guy. It's 9 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday, and we're drinking whiskey, and you're praying for me. So it worked. That's insane. Thank you. So as he's got his hands on me, I'm sitting there in my mind kind of rolling my eyes like, yeah, okay. Like, all right, God, if you're real, show me something. So he did. I woke up the next morning, and my hands weren't shaking. I wasn't sweating. I lived a normal life. It was like I had no alcohol withdrawals. Everything the doctor told me to prepare myself for, none of it happened. I had this absolute calm come over me, and I knew what I needed to do. And so I leaned back into the prayer. I started praying on my own. And then that's actually how my path crossed with Kathy. I didn't even know Gates Recovery existed. It's a 7-minute drive from my house. I didn't even know it was there. I wasn't interested in religion or anything. I remember my first night going there, and I kind of boldly got up in front of everybody and shared a little bit of why I was there and what my struggles were at the time. And I told everybody very, very confidently, I don't believe in this God stuff. I'm just here because I need help. And the more I kept coming back to the meetings, the more and more I saw of God working in my life and through everybody else's lives around me. So rewind a little bit back before that. I have a degenerative disease in my spine. So my discs in my spine are just like disappearing for no reason whatsoever. And I got hooked on opiate painkillers as a teenager. I was 18 years old and prescribed large quantities of Percocet, and nobody ever told me that these are drugs. They were like, this is medicine. It'll make you feel better, and it did. To the point where I became dependent on it, and eventually my doctor's like, look, this medication's too strong. We've learned a lot in the last few years about addiction, and we're kind of doing people a disservice prescribing them this level of medication. So they took me off of it, and I had horrible withdrawals. And so I started buying painkillers on the street just so I wouldn't get sick and could function every day, and pretty much turned into a full-blown opiate addict. And I mean, I definitely made decisions of my own that led me in that direction. But when my son was born in 2014, he wasn't breathing. They didn't know if he was going to make it or not. And I remember at that point, I didn't believe in God, but I asked God, let this little boy live and I'll give up the opiates. And he did. As soon as I said that, my son started crying. The baby started crying. And I just, wow. So that was... I stopped the opiates then, but I pretty much replaced them with alcohol. It was socially acceptable, and people, like, I didn't get looked down on for drinking. I was the life of the party, and everybody thought it was great, and it just led me down a really dark path. Alcohol became my identity. That was the only thing. I mean, everything I did, I wanted to be drinking, and, like, I'd go to my kid's baseball game, and I had to have two or three beers before I went, and... I actually coach Little League now. I don't drink at all, so that's awesome. But I can't even put into words the things that God's done in my life. All I had to do was give my life to Him. That's all I did. I'm like, all right, I don't know what I'm doing, so here, it's in your hands. And what was it? Nikki was saying that, you know, you still got to do some of the work. You have to allow him access, but that was it. I allowed him access, and he opened my path up and directed me. I work as a recovery coach with Gates now. I get to use my past struggles and strengths to give other people strength, and I love that God's using me to do that. It's given me purpose. Some of my past struggles and things that I've gone through in my life, it makes me see purpose in it. It's like God wasn't punishing me. He was preparing me for where he wants me to be now. He gave me strength. And I mean, I don't know. I kind of wish I had written more notes now. But thank you. I'm drawing a blank here. But yeah, God's led me in places. Like I said, the fact that I'm standing up here alone is a miracle in and of itself. A few years ago, I would have never done this. I mean, even I've always believed in God. I went to a Christian high school, but I lost touch. I had that worldly Christian view that a lot of us seem to hold on to when things aren't going the way that we want. And that's been one thing that's kind of helped me keep going in the last few years since I got sober, is I'm like, I just got to keep reminding myself that I don't know what God's plan is for me all the time, and that I need to lean into him in every single thing that I do. I actually just started my own construction business, and it's Kathy, who while we were here this morning, was like, you need to lean into God. So it was like a revelation sitting right in here. A lot of the things that I do in my life, you know, when I come up with these plans and this and that, I look in my motives. And that's been something I've been worried about starting my own company, is like I want to offer services to people. I want to help people keep their home feeling like home to them. And I was afraid to go into business for myself, because for a long time I've had no respect for myself. And I'm like, I kind of need a boss to keep me accountable and this and that. So that was my revelation this morning, is that God is my boss and that I have nothing to worry about. So Jesus was a carpenter. That was another one. We had this conversation at Tuesday night's group. I'm like, I prayed when I first got sober. There's that song, More Like Jesus by Zach Williams, yeah. So I remember that song being on the radio and praying to God, all right, make me more like Jesus, less like me. So here I am. I mean, I've always loved carpentry, but it's been more of a hobby to me. I never thought it would be something that I'd want to try to make my livelihood doing. And 2019, I had a pickup truck crash into my house, drunk driver, at 109 miles an hour, did a significant amount of damage. And that's another one of those experiences where I feel like it was life-changing. I felt like absolutely horrible when it happened, but looking back on it now, it was one of those situations that God allowed me to go through to give me the strength to get to where I am and where He wants me to be. And it took me over a year fighting with my homeowner's insurance company, trying to get money out of them to get my house fixed. Every day when you'd walk in the front door, it made this horrible creak sound because the whole house got twisted a little bit. Nothing was geometrically the way it was supposed to be shaped anymore. So every seam of drywall in the whole house was cracked. I had a huge hole in my foundation, and we ended up hiring a contractor to do all the work because I got sick of fighting with my homeowner's insurance company, and it just became too much for me at the time. And looking back on it now, I'm like, that's all the work that he did is stuff that I was capable of doing myself. The only thing that this man did differently than me is he's a Christian. He had God working with him. So I'm like, if I had just listened to God then, you know? Yeah, it's a process. So I don't know. It's a massive blessing for me to be able to come up here and share my story today. Like I said, I didn't think that I would ever be in a church giving testimony like this, but here I am, and it's all by the grace of God. I encourage anybody, if you have any struggles of yourself, just lean into God, give it all to Him, pray 24/7. Yeah, so I guess I want to leave you guys with my favorite scripture. It's Philippians 4:13, and that's, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Thank you.
Thank you. I forgot to mention that I brought a bunch of these. They're called Declaration of Release. And what it is that you make this declaration to release your family who's struggling with addiction. We did this for our son, and like 3 weeks later, he had checked himself into a rehab. And it wasn't that we weren't including God all along, but we made a prophetic declaration. And you can copy these. I brought some. I brought cards of Andrew's. I brought little postcards that you can take to give. Maybe keep a couple in your car. That's what I do. And then I kind of give them out. Business cards in case you need to reach us. We do have a website. It's gatesrecoverycenter.org. And thank you guys so much for loving us and loving all the treasures of God.
No?
Yes. Somebody else. I was ready.
The sermon was about to begin.
I'm just kidding. I was going to close, but you go.
This won't take more than 45 minutes. So bear with me.